Time, if you will, turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, and then put your finger on Psalm 98 and turn to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12 and Psalm 98. I didn't always have a job that let me go to church on Wednesday night, but when I had a job that would let me, I always went. I always went. I needed it. I still need it. And when I say three to thrive, I'm serious. Now, Dr. Lee Robertson was the first one to ever say that. That's not original with me. I'm not near as smart as he was. But I like that, three to thrive. I need it, Brother Ron. I need to be around God's people. I've been out in this old nasty world this week, and it's nasty. It's nasty. Everything you look at, can I say nasty in the pulpit? Do they say nasty in California? They do?
Not like you do.
Yeah, not like... What are you laughing at, Sister Kathy? I bet you say it funnier than I do. Say nasty. Nasty. It'd be nasty. But we get out in this old nasty, filthy, dirty world, and you get around some things. You get around some things that just make you feel dirty, you know. Sometimes you want to take your eyeballs out and wash them. Sometimes you want to take your eardrum out and wash it out. Amen? And so, Lord, help us. I need church. All right, Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, and with the voice of a psalm. And then skip over to Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I want to talk to you, turn over now to Isaiah 12, and I'm going to do that one verse at a time, but my subject tonight would be, what's all the singing and shouting about anyway? What's all the singing and shouting about anyway? And I'll never forget, I wish the York County Fair would come back. I had that big old booth set up. That thing was from here to the wall, and had a big old wall here, and had pictures and all kind of scriptures and stuff on it. And I had cassette tapes out here for free, preaching tapes, you know, of mine, and had pictures and stuff. And this fellow stood over there, and he... Just like he watched people, when they'd come by, they'd talk to me. And I'd witness or either invite them to church or something, you know. And I had a shoebox, had all dressed up, you know, with a hole in it. Win a free Bible. And you had to put your name and address and phone number on there. I said, put it on there. And I had a big old nice King James Bible out there, you know. And they'd fill it out and put their name in there, you know. And he just stood there and he watched for a long time. Then finally, when wasn't nobody around, he stepped up. He said, I ain't going to say the name of the church he went to because y'all got me on Facebook. I don't want to hurt their feelings. He said, I go to such Baptist church over here in town. He said, and that year we had baptized about 100, over 100 people that year. This is years ago when I was young. And he said, you think all them people got saved? I said, I don't know. He said, you baptized them? I said, they said they were saved. I said, that's all I know is what people say. I said, I don't know if you're saved or not. I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Yeah. He said, all that shouting and hollering y'all do down there at y'all's church, we got a quiet church. You think all that shouting and hollering going on is of the Lord? I said, you think all that sleeping at your church is going on of the Lord? He said, well, I just don't believe it. I said, I don't care if you do or not. Amen. I said, I just know what I do and what I like, and what they do at your church and what y'all like might be something different. But I believe if you're saved, you ought to notify your mouth and say something every once in a while. Amen. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with singing to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with an amen or a praise the Lord or a hallelujah or a glory to God. As a matter of fact, in the Psalms, he tells us over and over, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing psalms to the Lord. Play music to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Amen? Now, everybody don't shout, I know that, but you ought to shout in your heart if you ain't going to shout with your mouth. Amen? Amen. And I just wanted to ask that question. Why would we do such things? Why would you say amen? Why would you say praise the Lord? Why would you say hallelujah? Why would you say glory to God? I'm glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 12. Number one, look at verse number one in chapter 12 of Isaiah. He said, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I'll tell you what you'll shout about. He saved you. Amen. You were an enemy of God. Now you're a child of God. Amen. There was a wall between you and the Lord. Now that's been torn down. You got access to the throne room of God. If that doesn't make you grunt a little amen every once in a while, you might as well check it out. Amen. I mean, we got a lot to shout about. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on the road to hell, and now I'm on the road to heaven. Amen. I was on the broad way, and now I'm on the narrow way. And he did every bit of that. I didn't do that. He did that. He was angry with me, but then he comforted me. Once I got saved, he put that comforting spirit within me. I worry about dry-eyed, quiet Baptists. I worry about them. I really do. Now, I know everybody's not outgoing and all, you know, but even Brother Rick back there is growing a little amen every once in a while. I want you, Brother Rick. So there you go. I remember when he first come here, he didn't say three words for 3 weeks. And now he sits over there and I'll hear him every once in a while. Amen. That's right. Amen. But everybody's not loud like me. I know that. But we've got a lot to shout about. They can. They shout when their race car wins. They shout when their football team. And is that not strange that a man won't grunt a holy grunt in church, but he'll go over there and pay hundreds of dollars to go to a stinking football game, paint himself blue and black, and stand up and scream and holler and cry and go on? I wonder who his Lord really is. Amen? It's strange he'll go over there to the racetrack and pay all that money to sit out in the hot sun and get his eardrum blown out by cars that have no mufflers on them. And he'll sit out there for hours on end screaming and hollering every time that car comes by. And they can't hear him. They can't hear themselves. And then he'll go to church and sit there. Bless me if you can, preacher. Well, I wonder who his Lord is. They got a lot to shout about, and they shout. Why shouldn't Christians get excited? Amen? Well, I thought you was a Christian. I am, and I ain't ashamed of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number two, look at verse 2. This is why we can shout and holler and have a good time and sing and praise the Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation. You want to know why I can get excited? I can shout, say amen, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Because I am not my salvation, he is. Amen. Now, if I was my salvation, I'd just stay at home too. I wouldn't go to church if I was my salvation. Because I used to be when I was lost and going to hell. I had hope in me, not him. But I put it on him, and now he's not just my Savior, he's my salvation. It all rises and falls on Jesus Christ, every bit of it. Now look at that verse again. Behold, God is my salvation. I like that. And I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, here's what I think about mostly men and sometimes women that don't even want to pick up a songbook and sing a hymn to praise God. I think there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You say, well, I can't sing. He didn't say you had. There's nothing in here about being able to sing. There's nothing in here about being able to sing well or be talented. By the way, talent is not what God needs. God needs somebody that's glad they're saved. Amen? Amen. You get the praise in the Lord, and He'll give you the talent you need. Amen? And if He don't, whose business is that anyway? My sister Judy used to come down here. My sister Judy was born mentally retarded. And she never even learned how to read and write her own name until she was about 50 years old. And because back then they didn't go to school. She was older than me, and they didn't send them to school. They sent them to school to learn how to wash clothes and clean house and stuff like that. Didn't teach them how to read or write or arithmetic or anything. But she got saved while she was, a teenager. She got saved. And then after I got saved and started to preach, wherever I preached, she'd come. And she'd say, Wani, can I sing? Wanda, can I sing? And I'd say, sure, Judy, you can sing. And she'd sing, I won't have to worry anymore. And she knew the words. I don't even know the words. She could sing the words. She knew every word of that song. And she'd stand up and sing it with her little simple voice. And her cleft palate couldn't talk plain. And you know what? It blessed people's heart. It blessed her heart. I sat there and thought, boy, if that girl can sing that, we all ought to be singing. Amen? If she could sing that as hard as her life was, my goodness, everybody in the building should have been standing up, jumping pews, hollering, waving their hand, praising God. Amen? Because He is our salvation. Doesn't depend on your mental capacity. Doesn't depend on your IQ. Doesn't depend on your education. Doesn't depend on your place in society, your color, or anything else. It all depends on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? That's something to sing about. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You ought to sing. Amen? We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to sing. Hey, every once in a while you ought to get a little holy boldness. Just let out a little grunt or something. Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. That always brings up Simpleton Larry up at Blessed Hope. Every time we worked on the back of the trash truck, that's back when they had 55-gallon drums. You put your trash in. He had arms like steel, but he was mentally retarded. And every time it was testimony time, he'd be the first one. He said, preacher, and he had a cleft palate. He couldn't talk plain. He said, preacher, I love you, and I love Jesus. And he sat down. That's all he had to say. And that shut the mouth of everybody in there. Because if that little old boy could say, I love Jesus, anybody in the room should be able to say, I love Jesus. Amen? Because now we are not our own salvation. He is my salvation. Jesus Christ. And by His blood alone, that's it. Amen? Somebody says, you think you're good enough to go to heaven? Nope. Nope. 10,000 times, no. Or shout that everywhere I go. I'm not good enough, but thank God He is. Amen. And He stood in my place, and He took my sin debt, and He laid it on Himself on that tree, and He paid for my sins, and I'm not good enough, and I never will be good enough, and I'm not even a good Christian sometimes, but He's always a good Savior. Amen. He is my salvation. It's all on Him. If I die and go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting Him all the way. I'll go through the gates of hell shouting, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen? He'll be my Savior. And so, what's all the shout about? Why y'all folks won't get so excited? Well, for number one, He saved you. He did that. Your church didn't do that. I don't care if you join every church in town. That's not going to save you. And by the way, some do. I don't care if you get baptized till you wrinkle like a prune, and some do. I've had people come to me, get baptized 3 or 4 times. I'd baptize them again, trying to make them feel better. It didn't work because they were looking for the baptism to save them, not Jesus. Amen. And then once He saves you, then you put it on Him. He is your salvation.
Amen.
He is, not your church membership, not your baptism, not your good works, not even going to church. I think you ought to do all those things, but that's not what saves us. Our salvation is Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that I might know Him and the power of the resurrection. You see, what most people want is they want the salvation, not the Savior. They want the healer, the healing, not the healer. They want the supplier, the supply, the food, the clothes, not the supplier. Amen?
Right.
And boy, once the problem's over, they've lost their Savior. Because they wasn't looking to Him, they were looking to the problem to be solved, and they thought that was salvation. How many people have I seen run down to the altar, fall on the altar, weep and cry, and you think, boy, they finally got it. They got in, they got in, they got in. You get excited, and 2 weeks later, you couldn't find them with the FBI.
Come on, man.
The problem was fixed, and they went back to wherever they come from. See, they weren't looking for the Savior. They were looking to be saved from something, a problem. Amen? And then look at, if you will, at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Chapter 12, Isaiah. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Did you know that we're to be happy because our salvation well is bottomless?
Amen.
We've got a bottomless well of salvation. You'll never go to the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water, and it be dry.
Right.
Never will. Hey, if you're thirsty, go. The well is full. It will always be full. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I've got, hey, there's a lot of things that's run dry on me. I've had jobs run dry on me. I've had friendships run dry on me. I've had all kinds of things run dry on me. But He's that well of Him and His love and His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering and His goodness, it has never run dry. I go to that well and I can get some water out every time. Amen? He says, come. Come. And I go to that well, and there it is. It ain't never empty. Amen? We used to have an old well when I was a kid. And in the old farmhouse we lived in out in the field. We didn't use it. They had done put plumbing in the house, and we rented the house. But that old well, you couldn't get no water out of it. It had water in it. But I'd let that bucket down, and it'd land on top of something. It was full of junk. People throwing wood in there and junk in there. And you could let that bucket down, but it would land on top of all that trash and junk, and it wouldn't go down into the well and get you any water. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of people, they go to the well that we call Jesus, and they can't get anything out of Him because there's something between them and the water.
Amen.
Yeah. Called sin. And there's something between them and the water, and it's trash, and they drop that bucket, and they reel it up, and they drop that bucket, and they say, I'm going to give up. I quit praying. I don't get nothing out of it. Well, it's not the well that's dry. It doesn't have a problem. It's them. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? This well will never run dry. Well, I like that. I like that. And then look at verse 4. And in that day you shall say, what day? Well, the day that He saved you, the day that you realized He was your Savior, the day that you realized you had a limitless God. And He said, that day, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Now, you got something to shout about. Boy, at work, Christians will go to work or they'll go to school, you know, and they're usually the quietest people there. And we've got the grandest news of all the people at work or at school.
Amen.
But usually the Christians are the quietest one there because they're scared to death they're going to offend somebody. Well, let me ask you something. They don't care if they offend you, do they?
That's right. Come on, bro.
And what you're saying is good, and what they're saying is bad. So why would you get lockjaw when you ought to be praising the Lord? This guy comes up, you know, and he's complaining about his wife, and he's complaining about his children, and he's fussing and cussing. You'll just look at him when he takes the bread and say, well, I just want to praise the Lord. I don't have those problems. God has saved me and delivered me, and He guides my footsteps, and He's built a hedge around me and my family. God's been good to me. Maybe you need to get close to Jesus, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to thee. Amen. He tells us there that we ought to declare His doings among the people and make mention of His name. Now, you know, you can talk about just about anybody in public until you bring up that name, Jesus.
That's right.
You can pray in public as long as you don't pray in Jesus' name. Have you noticed that? All these town hall meetings and city hall meetings, all that, they used to have prayer, and they'd invite a preacher sometimes. Sometimes one of them would pray, and they'd always end it, "In Jesus' name we pray." Now they say, "In thy name we pray." Well, what's His name? His name's Jesus. And Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, you'll receive that." So they ain't getting what they're asking for. Amen. But then some guy come in with a big old turban on his head or something, you know, and it's his turn to pray, and he ain't ashamed to pray to his false god, and it's oh yeah, you know, all that junk, you know, and camels and pyramids and everything, and they all say, "Boys, isn't that sweet? He is so dedicated to his religion." But a Christian finishes his in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They say, "Fanatic. Fanatic. Get him out of here. He's going to disrupt the whole meeting." Amen. Do y'all not see that? And look, that's not those people's fault. It's Christians' fault, because we've stayed quiet so long that they've become accustomed not to hearing it, and they hear it so rarely that now they think they can stop it. Amen. Now, South Carolina's changing. The whole country's changing, but South Carolina's now changing. Some of y'all remember, when we grew up, we had what they call blue laws. Blue law was this: nothing opened on Sunday except maybe a drugstore and maybe a gas station, because somebody had to get gas to go to the doctor or something. But they even those usually weren't open, but they could be. On a limited scale, it would be from 11 to 6 that they could be open. Now, what's open on Sunday? Everything but Chick-fil-A. Everything's open. Let me tell you something. And it's not because of the sinners that did that. Oh yeah, I know, they're the ones that came and they pushed those laws through and they buried the blue laws. But while Christians had lockjaw, the heathens had their way. People come down here, excuse me, Brother Jeffrey and some of you others. People come in and say, these Yankees, they're changing everything. And I said, not unless you let them. Well, they want to be just like it was up north. Don't matter. We outnumber the people that don't go to church on Sunday. We outnumber the people that want to get rid of the blue laws. But we let it happen because nobody said anything.
Right.
And there's an old saying, all it takes for the wicked to prosper or for the righteous to be silent.
Right.
You want to be praising His name. You want to do it in public.
Right.
You ought to be on the job singing, "Farther along, we'll know all about it." You ought to be on the job singing, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." I worked for Bendix Brake Company for a couple of years in machine shop. One of the worst jobs I ever had. We made Ford brakes, and that's probably the reason it was so bad. We made Ford brakes. But I worked in a machine shop, and so I didn't ask. Other people had radios and tape players on their machinery, you know, and I had a machine right here and a machine right here, and the closest guy to me was over there at that wall on that side and that wall on that side with his machines. He couldn't hear what I was playing, and I couldn't hear what he was playing unless I went over there. So I brought my radio, and every night I'd put it on. It used to be Waggy, I think it was, in Gaffney. And boy, they'd get to singing the primitive quartet, you know, in the cathedrals. And J. Harold Smith would come on there preaching, and Harold Seitler would come on there preaching. And boy, it was wonderful. I could work while I listened to preaching and singing. I'd be loading and unloading those machines. And the supervisor would come by after I'd been there about a week. He said, "Ron, I need to talk to you." I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's about your radio." I said, "Ain't much of a radio. I done got cutting oil all over it from the machinery." He said, "Well, I need you to turn it off." I said, "Why?" He said, "We've got complaints." I said, "Complaints about what?" He said, "What you're listening to." I said, "What I'm listening to? Have you walked by that guy's machine down there and it's got the heavy metal on it? Have you walked by that one over there where Conway's Twitty's singing about sleeping with somebody else's wife? I said, you went by that over there where they're cussing on their songs? Mine's singing about the Lord Jesus Christ and gospel music. It's not going to hurt anybody." He said, "Yeah, but we got complaints." I said, "Okay, I'll make a deal." He said, "What's that?" I said, "You turn all theirs off, I'll turn mine off." He said, "I can't do that." I said, "Then I ain't turning mine off." He shook his head and walked away. Amen. Amen. But if I'd have kept my mouth shut, he'd have took that out there. By the way, other people came by. The man that picked up the parts, brought me new parts, things like that. The man that inspected parts, they came by. They complimented me on my radio station. Listen, we'll be shouting it from the rooftops. Come Christmas, you ought not have an Xmas sign in your yard. You ought to have a Jesus saved sign in your yard. Amen. Or Jesus is the reason for the season. If your neighbors don't like it, get a bigger one. Put it up on your house and light it up. It's your house. Amen. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The problem not the name. The problem is with the person reading the name. And it hurts their little feelings because they're afraid they're going to die and go to hell and they don't want to hear about it. I just get louder. Amen. I just get louder. Listen, you've got something to shout about. Ron, I've been up at the hospital. When he's over at the hospital, he witnesses those people. And he don't have but a second or two, but he'll throw a little jab in there. He'll throw a little jab in there. Went over to the hospital today to see Edward. Nurses came in there, and Sister Hazel introduced me as her pastor. This is our pastor. This is our pastor, Ron Rogers. She wasn't ashamed of being my church member. She wasn't ashamed of this church. And she said, "This is our pastor. You ought to come to our church." Let me tell you something. If we Christians do not start praising the Lord publicly and boldly, this nation's going to go under and it's going to be destroyed. And they're working on it more and more every day, brother, because people, Christians, are ashamed to open their mouth. Well, I don't want to run nobody off. They're going to hell. Where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? They're already going to hell. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. They offend you. They offend Jesus. They offended Him enough to hang Him on the cross. Amen. We're to bear the news to every land. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. And then final, but not least, look at verse, if you will, look at verse 6. Y'all see I got a short sermon tonight, don't you? I got a short sermon. I can preach for an hour and a half off of that. Verse 6. Don't worry, I'm not. "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." He commands us to do it. Now, I know we're not Israel, but we've been adopted into the family of Abraham. And he said, "Cry out, shout aloud about it." I'm afraid most of the time we don't cry out and shout aloud about it. The problem's not with him or them. It's us.
Come on now. Yeah.
You see, we don't want to offend them because we like their friendship more than we like talking about Him. We don't want to cry out because maybe they might look at us and say, "You saw a hypocrite." And they could, to all of us sometimes. We're all hypocrites sometimes. Everybody in here is about Walmart's a hypocrite. All of you say you don't like to go and you go anyway. Amen. I've probably seen all of you out there. Though Dollar General's getting closer and closer. But, and when they do that, Brother Ron, you'll say, "You're right. You're right. Pray for me. I'm not the Christian I ought to be all the time. Please pray for me. I want to be better." But let me tell you something. Jesus is still good. He's never bad.
Amen.
Amen? And He's the one I'm trying to get you to. I'm not trying to get you to follow me. I'm trying to get you to follow Him. Don't follow me. I'll let you down. But He'll never let you down. His well never runs dry. What a shout. He commanded it. Look at it again. Cry out and shout, He said. Now, I've been in churches to where if somebody in the choir had opened up a piece of cake, they'd ruin the preacher's sermon. It's so quiet in there. He'd lose his place. If somebody said, "Amen, praise the Lord," it'd scare him to death. He'd think a Pentecostal done slipped in and they all fix and start shouting and jumping pews. Scare him to death. But, you know, really, it's not his fault. It's the congregation's fault. What they ought to do is start shouting and crying aloud, and if he ain't good, it'll run him off. Get one that likes it. Amen? A preacher told me one time, and he's supposed to be an independent King James Bible toting separatist, fundamental Baptist. And this is what he told me. He said, "Brother Ron, I don't see how you get people to say amen the way you do." I said, "All right, listen to me preach. Jesus saves. Amen."
Amen.
I just did it. I'll say, "I'm going to heaven. Amen." And they'll say, "Amen." You know. But you don't have to coach people much. And then once somebody realizes how good it feels to shout aloud, cry out, open their mouth, it's hard to shut them up. John Coley, I guess, is the worst one in town. I was preaching one time. He was sitting up on the front. And I got to preaching. Things got good. He got up. And he got up here. And he was preaching, going on while I was preaching. I said, "Glory to God, hallelujah, amen, preacher, preaching, preaching." Fine, I stopped. I said, "Brother John, you got to sit down. I can't preach. No, nobody can hear me." He sat down, "Amen." He sat down a little bit later. He's back up again, hollering, going on. Those Indian people down there in Maxton and Lumberton, all you go to their churches, man, they'll shout you out. You get to preaching good, they'll get to waving hankies and crying out loud and shouting and hollering. Them women, man, I'm telling you, they'll take off. And I just had to quit preaching one time, let them finish it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Every once in a while, I wish somebody just get full of the Spirit around here and start shouting where I couldn't preach. I'd stop preaching and say, "Bless them, Lord, help yourself. Help yourself." Amen. Amen, Amen, Brother Danny. That's from the back. Amen. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you blessed? Has He blessed you?
Yes, Lord.
Has He taken care of your needs?
Yes.
Amen. Has He answered your prayers?
Yes.
Amen. Then shout about it.
Amen.
What's wrong with saying amen, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, amen? Say hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. If you can't say nothing else, just say hot dog. But we'll do it. We got a lot to shout about.
Yes, we do.
Or be in hell right now. Or be in hell. That's where I ought to be. I ought to be. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. I'd be burning right now, crying for somebody to dip the tip of their finger in water and come cold my tongue. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't still be saved. I'd have lost it. If you could lose it, I'd have lost it by now. Come on, help me.
Right, yeah.
Amen. Amen. I got a wonderful wife. I shouldn't have her. I've got wonderful children. I shouldn't have them. Now I got wonderful grandchildren. Praise God. I'm about to cut a flip. Amen. I got a good church. I got a church I can go to. People love me. They're loving. They're forgiving. They're long-suffering. They're kind. And they also know Jesus. And I ought to shout about that. Amen. He lets me pastor here. Of all people, He lets me pastor here. And guess what? My mama's 99 years old and she's still alive. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a mama's boy. I've been a mama's boy all my life. I ain't ashamed of it. If you say anything bad about my mama, I'll slap you and ask Jesus to forgive me. I don't think I'll have to. I think He likes my mama too. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow you're going to get up. You know what you're going to do? I did it today. I walked out the driveway today and I looked up and I said, thank you, God, I can still see. I got cataracts and everything's a little bit blurry, but I can see, Lord, I can still see. God, I can still hear those birds singing. Thank you, God, I can still hear. God, I can still walk. I can still walk. I can still walk. Thank God. I'm still in my right mind. Amen. I'm forgetful, but I'm still in my right mind. Amen. I still know my name. I still know where I live. Amen. Amen. I got people that love me. I've got people that really love me. I've got a wife that loves me. If she don't, she puts on a good act. My children love me. My children love me, sis. My children love me. They tell me, they say, you're the greatest man in the world. You're the greatest man that we know. You're the great preacher and all. My children love me. Now, that's a miracle right there. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Danny loves me. If Danny can love me, anybody in this building can love me. Much as I pick at him. Amen. You love me, don't you, Danny? Amen. What a shout. What a shout. God, hey, listen, God's doing great works in every person's life in this room. He is. And if you don't know that, it's just because you ain't looking.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Come on. Preacher, I'm having it hard. Yeah, but you're still alive. You're still breathing. You're still walking. You're still talking. You can see. You can hear. You're in your right mind. You got some people that love you. And you've got a Savior that'll never die. He's your salvation.
Amen.
And He saves you and keeps you. And one day He's going to present you faultless. That's what He said. He'll present you faultless before His presence with great joy. You'll shout that day. You'll shout that day. Amen. Heaven ain't... Hey, they ain't up there playing little harp floating around little old clouds. Man, they're up there having the time shouting and singing and praising God. Go read the book of Revelation. It ain't quiet in heaven. Somebody told me one time, I don't like to go to a noisy, loud church. I said, you better not go to heaven. Amen. Amen. What's all the shouting about? There it is. What's all the singing about? There it is. Let's stand. Father.